Hi, welcome to this super special episode of the Autism Everyday Podcast. We are your hosts, Swati
and Geeta. Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's a super special episode, let's put it that way.
We have with us today Hema Jairam, a dear, dear friend and a very integral part of WeCan.
Yes, yes. Probably someone who's very inspiring. As a parent, as a person, as a friend, someone from whom, you know, there is a lot to learn, the enthusiasm and the energy for life. and mother of Anirudh, again.
Supermom
of Anirudh and supermom of Anirudh, the super kid, who, again, I think taught us a whole lot about autism and was our favorite, child on whom I think we learned so many things. We learned ABA, we learned verbal behavior, we learned everything through him, actually. Oh, so welcome to the podcast, Hema.
Hi, I'm really happy to be in this podcast. I'm so happy, Geeta, you're getting a little politically correct. You did not say some of the things I thought you would. I'm really delighted with that.
I'm learning.
Because I can't kick your feet from here.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's we go back a long way. I mean, WeCan is now 20 years old.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have gray hair.
Yeah. And well, to be honest, I mean, not that WeCan has contributed so much to it. We have managed it ourselves.
Well, on a lighter note, I, always tell people that, they ask, how is it like, it must be really hard running a center for kids with autism. And on a lighter note, I point to my hair and said, you can see from my hair. But that's just jokes. It's been a great journey.
Yeah.
No complaints there. So, to all our listeners, I think one of the things that we do want to, talk about at the start is the book that we have recently published,
A World of Difference.
Right? It's a parent's guidebook. To a parent of a child with autism. And I know some of you have bought it, some of you have read it, it's early days yet. But I think we'll be talking a little bit about, what we have written there. And a lot of what Hema and we would chat about would resonate with things that are there in that book as well. So let's start with, your journey, Hema. When you got a diagnosis for Anirudh, what was it like at that point of time?
So before I get into that, I really want to congratulate both of you for bringing out this wonderful book. I actually received my copy yesterday, and I've just cursorily gone through it.
Yeah.
But for me, apart from my bias, my friends and my WeCan, I'm setting that aside. Mm-hmm. But from what I look at it, I find it to be a very user and a reader-friendly book. And I can definitely say that with great confidence as a parent and also as a professional, that the source where it is coming from, it is very credible. What there is would definitely help. It's a very, one of the few books. I really haven't come across any book in an Indian context like this. So I think it's much awaited and much needed kind of a guidebook. So I really hope that parents, young parents particularly out there, check it out for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hema. That means so much.
So you were asking me about my journey. So, well, it's been like, now Anirudh is, he turned 25 this year. With my memory and stuff like that, so I would just say that I think it's very hard for people today, including myself, to imagine how it was 24, 23 years ago, around the time when we got the diagnosis, where now we take information technology on our fingertips for granted.
Yes.
So this was a time I would like for young parents to imagine that people really did not have computers at home. And we did actually have one with a dial-in thing, you know, which would take and connect. But you could not really, I mean, I didn't know about search engines and things like that. We only used the computer for typing out stuff like, you know, not so much internet connectivity, but more like a data processor, you know, and email perhaps. Right. So to begin with, autism was a word we had never heard. Mm-hmm. And some of our doctors really knew nothing about it.
Right.
But I think we have been fortunate or blessed in a certain way that we didn't waste a lot of time because the suggestion was given by a relative who was from the US, so he knew where he was coming from. Mm. And our pediatrician, and God bless him, he did not reject the notion.
Right.
I'm really grateful for that because as a parent at that age, you are actually seeking somebody who's going to say, "Arey, nee, nee, it's all going to be fine." That's what you want to hear, right? Sure. I mean, although you know something is not right, but you want somebody to just say that, no, your suspicions are all wrong, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I would be very grateful to my pediatrician who said that, "I don't think so, but let's find out."
Right.
And he put us on a process of, you know, tests and things like that. Mm. And it was all very, very basic. I mean, nothing, I would say most of the tests and assessments we did had very little to do with autism as we know it now. But at least it was a process and which helps as parents for us to, you know, gradually the thing to sink in that the child may have something different. It may, you know, so, you know, it's because it just doesn't like in movies, you know, a lightning flash or a big crescendo and you realize, oh, my child has autism.
Right.
No, it doesn't happen like that.
No.
It happens over a period of time. It takes sometimes over almost a year. It took us about 7-8 months through that journey to finally arrive. We were convinced at that point that yes, he does have autism. And I will never forget a very famous doctor. He was a leading doctor in Chennai, Apollo. And when we told him that we had some printed information from the US, which was couriered to us.
Right.
So he wanted a copy of that from us. and he said that if you know more, do share information with us.
Right. That was the time.
That was the time. And he was a leading doctor and he was a really good doctor. And again, I appreciate his humility to accept and ask a parent to share information, which does not happen often with professionals. But you can imagine that for young parents, it was not a very confidence evoking thing. Here we were ourselves looking for things, and the guy we went to, who we thought would be the, you know, my bap who will know everything, said that if you find something, you know, we kind of were very unsure of where to go from there. So I would say and that has not changed even today, that for parents, the journey begins when you start realizing that you have to start learning yourself and you have to start teaching your child. I mean, training, there is no treatment, and training and teaching is what is going to take you and the child forward. I mean, that is the moment I think is required today also as a turning point in a family's life. And I think for us, that was when we met Mary Barua in Action for Autism when Anirudh was 2.5 years old. I think that was a turning point in our life. And from there we are still learning. I would say that was a moment, and I would say that hasn't changed today. Parents still need to realize that unless they take matters into their own hands, they learn. I mean, they don't have to, I mean, everybody doesn't have to become a professional, but they have to know everything about it.
Absolutely, right? And that's a learning journey. And when Anirudh was 2.5, you said you had to actually travel to Delhi in order to, you know, avail of these the information and the workshop that Mary Barua had. Right. It's so different now, isn't it? For a lot of young
I should definitely say And you know, and I say it with no envy. I'm really happy for parents today that they have information, access to information, access to good information, access to good resources wherever they are. And I think, it's really incredible. And I think we should all be grateful to the pioneers in the field. And of course, the information technology industry for providing this for all of us.
Mm. Right. A lot simpler today than it was.
Yes.
Then.
I mean, I can tell you that I remember that books were not available. I mean, we didn't have Amazon. And bookshops did not have any books on autism because I guess nobody ever asked for them. I mean, autism as a word was not recognized.
Yeah, they still don't actually, unless you look at textbooks.
Still a little, yeah, but still, you know, popular media now has characters with autism and things. So it is. I mean, when you say autism, people don't blink at you.
That's
educated people, I would say, don't blink at you. So I still remember, but we had friends, we had, family who had access to a dot matrix printer and internet. And so I had this bundle of paper, you know, with all kinds of unrelated information, but it was all on autism, which people had provided when they heard. Jairam's office in those days, they used to have a library. And so the librarian, he hunted and found things and printed it out for us in dot matrix, those, you know, streams of paper that come. And with really tiny pixelated prints. But we devoured them because it was some information, right? Of course, it had some really crazy information and we won't go into that. Yeah. But there was some, to be honest, really some very good information as well.
Right.
And I remember that when we went to Action for Autism first time with Anirudh for assessment and Mary met with us. Mm. So what I really appreciate again was, and I think these were, despite the facility of availability, these were little pockets of information which were doing this, I can only use the word service for parents like me, because they had got books from the United States, really good books, valid books, and they would offer it. I mean, I know it's all illegal and stuff. They would offer us those copies of those books, Xerox copies at a nominal price of Xeroxing. And, you know, and that was the beginning of knowing that there is information out there and we need to try to find out. And then that's how the journey began. We literally, you know, tried to find more, learn more, met Geeta, met more parents like me. I mean, this all happens.
All of us equally ignorant.
Ignorant, but the one common thing, and I think Geeta and I, was that we both of us believed that there needed to be learning. I mean, we needed to know more about how to teach children with autism, and that what was available was not enough.
Yeah.
And B, that it had to be a scientific method, our professional. And I mean, you know, the word that we always used to say, that we want to provide professional quality services, you know, not just, you know, do something because we love children and we charity and kindness.
Yes.
I mean, that is a separate matter. But when it comes to providing services, it had to be professional, it had to be quality, it had to be authentic. Yeah. And from there, I think there was a different level of stage of our journey began.
Yes.
That we started learning ourselves.
Yes, yes. And, looking back, I think I always remember that moment when we attended a workshop on verbal behavior in Mumbai. And we were kind of, our jaws dropped that there's something like this. And something that focuses on communication and that you can actually teach children communication so easily. And that was, I think, a night we did not sleep.
Sleepless night.
Sleepless night.
And you know, and we just wanted to get back home and get our hands on A. So, I mean, on an aside, I would like to say that Geeta and I always, there are often these memoirs of children, individuals with autism that come out. And Geeta and I have always, and I think we still live in a little bit of a fear that if ever Anirudh comes out with his memoirs, we may not come out very well in that. Yeah. Not just for what we did with him, but, yes. But because he was privy to all our conversations, juicy yes. and otherwise.
Yes.
And he was an integral part of our team because I had no childcare or anything. So wherever we went, any meeting, be it donor, be it professional, whatever, he came along with us yes. everywhere. And car journeys were interesting.
Yeah, we certainly won't come out looking like the kind of
yes. We will need to go underground for some time.
Yeah. So that was an exciting moment when we actually learned a little bit about verbal behavior and then.
Geeta, do you remember? I mean, I think this was this workshop was around Anirudh was going to be 7.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you remember that it was not until he was 6 or 7 that I realized how important imitation was a skill to be taught.
Yes, yes.
Do you remember that? And I mean, yes. you know, and now it is like the first thing we tell when we meet families. Yeah. And, you know, those are the, you know, these are the skills you work on. But till he was 6 and we were learning and we were meeting many professionals and stuff. But no, I mean, you know, not that people hid it from us or whatever, but it was not such a popular thing.
Yes.
And one now realizes that how important that skill is.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Isn't it? Absolutely.
So we were doing, and you know, and it was yielding result, but the input, the amount and rate of input and what the output we were getting.
Yes.
You know, and that ratio was really abysmal.
Very, very poor. And sometimes very disheartening.
Yes. And sometimes some of the things we did, we were really not convinced about it, but we believed that, you know, if somebody's saying it is to be done, and, you know, and if we did it.
Yeah.
And later we realized that when what we were not convinced about was actually not really practical, and what yes. our common sense told us actually was the way to go. So yes. I am a huge supporter for common sense. You know, as long as it is good common sense.
Yes. Yes, I know. But yeah, I guess we were hanging on to straws at that point.
We were trying our best. So I have no regrets at all because yeah. we were learning, we were trying with whatever was available. Yeah.
I think that, you know, when we came back and within the first half an hour of using the principles of preference assessment and reinforcement with Anirudh, we started seeing a word.
Yeah.
And that was the most amazing moment. And it said, here it is, bingo, we've hit on
absolutely
what we think is the magic wand.
Yes. Oh, yes. I still remember that one dingy room in the back of the school.
Yeah.
Where we would pull him out.
Yes. Yes.
Because, as you know, since we didn't need any consent or anything to pull him out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, I think his first word was blow, right?
Blow. Yes, blow. Yeah. And the second was cut.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
And we were ticked off by a professional for teaching him verbs before we taught him other stuff.
Yeah,
but all the verbs were his mans. But his mans were the verbs. He wanted us to do those things.
Yeah.
He was not a typical chocolate manding child. Yes. He wanted people to do stuff for him. Those were his.
So
again, I feel that it has to be, whatever the teaching has to be, very child specific, very child centric. The theory should not become so rigid that it takes over. The means should never become greater than the end, and the end is for the child to benefit from the theory,
right?
And that lies in the hand of the therapist and the mother or the primary caregiver, you know, people who make the decision for that child. So it's very important to remember that.
So I'd like to you to kind of talk a little bit about what you feel about the need for a parent or parents, the family, to be involved in the whole process, because many times I know parents feel like stressed, I mean, about, you know, having to work with the child. I'd rather be a mother or a father than be a therapist. And at other times, there is the demand that is placed on them by professionals that you need to be involved and you need to be consistent in doing whatever we are doing at the center where he receives intervention. Yeah. So parents are always kind of, you know, do I really have to do this? And sometimes it's, I cannot do this. My child will not listen to me.
Yeah.
So what would your advice to parents be?
So anyway, advice being a very big word, I would just like to say what I feel, mm-hmm. right? When you have a neurotypical child,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have a beaten path, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what are you going to do next? See, within the margins of that boundary, we may all differ a little, but right. roughly we all follow. I mean, there is a set path. You don't really have to reinvent the wheel there.
Right.
You can make choices within the, like you color within the lines. You may color differently, but you color within the lines and the line is pretty much set and you know there is a way.
Right.
But the moment you realize that your child is different and autism is perhaps as different as it can get, you know, because of the nature of the condition, what happens is that you are kind of lost, you know, as you know, as a parent. I mean, you really don't have a manual when you have children, you know, you just have and you follow the what the future people have done and you just learn from it instinctively. But in this case, what happens is that you really need to learn quickly, very quickly. First, hey, you need to, and then what to do is the biggest question. You have to, the onus then completely lies on the family, on the parents to explore, to locate, to identify, and also to select what they are going to do, what methodology, which kind of school.
Yes.
You know, and not that such options are available everywhere. This is what I'm talking about, metropolitans. When
right.
you are in a smaller city as I am right now, there are no options.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? And, and for all the inclusive education and everything, it's a lot on paper, right? And intentions might be right. I am not, and maybe over a period of time, things might change. So I'm not being cynical or, you know, scorning at it. But reality remains that what happens is that the parents are thrown off completely because before having the child, they had a whole plan of a nursery school, a school, a college, a job.
It goes on, right?
It's very... Just know that, you know, you have to do very little. Life will take care.
Yeah.
But in this case, every decision comes back to you.
Yes. Yes.
And you are responsible for another life and to make decisions that are going to impact his or her life. For life.
It's a big responsibility.
So I think it's a very daunting prospect, regardless of the amount of information, education, confidence, family, friends, support, regardless of the best case scenario, I would say it's a very daunting situation.
It is. It is.
So to make that decision, so the, how do you make a decision for anything, information? You need to be informed. So I would say, I mean, you know, it might seem unfair, but whatever it is, as parents of a child with autism, and I can only speak for them, only from my experience, you need to know whether you actively work with your child or not. That's a secondary matter. But you need to know everything about the condition, because here is a child, your child, who really can't tell you what he's going through, even if he has words.
Right. Absolutely.
He can't express himself. So you imagine that and put yourselves in that position. So you need to understand what he could be going through.
Right.
There is no definitive way of knowing what he is going through. What could he be going through? What are the things you could do to help him out?
Right.
What are the things others might do with him or to him that should or should not be done?
Right. Absolutely.
Because
very important.
You are speaking for that child.
Yeah.
He's a person and he cannot speak. And we do it as parents for our children, regular children as well. But when it comes to autism, remember that you have to not just about his education, about everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
About his choices on every matter, what he eats, what he wears, where he goes, you know. So for it to be, so for that, I think parents have no option but to learn about the condition and about the various ways in which children are taught and trained and you know, because these are not skills for being doctor or engineer. These are life skills. These are survival skills.
Right.
These are skills that the child needs to live his day-to-day life with as less support or as minimal support as possible, to have as much autonomy as he can have. So there are, I would say that that learning about it, there is no option.
Right.
Whether you are educated, uneducated, there are ways and means of learning.
Right.
You don't have to be literate to learn.
Absolutely.
So parents have to learn. That is their responsibility for being parents. That's the parental responsibility. Right.
Right.
Now I'll come to the second part where you said about parents doing, you know, actively working with children.
Yeah.
In that, what I would say is that, see, if you have the luxury, you have the luxury where you can be this mother who does everything that the school tells you to do and at home, and you can send your child safely to a center where you are confident that he's going to be. I mean, you know, if you have the luxury, absolutely go for it. It's great. You can.
Yeah.
But I would say that for most people, that luxury does not exist. At least it didn't when we were younger, right?
Right.
And the second, and but like I said, that the skills that we teach the child are not mathematics or, you know, trigonometry or nuclear physics or things like that. We are teaching the child to talk. We are teaching the child to communicate. We are teaching the child to relate to each other, you know, social interactions. Right. I mean, academics apart, what is the essential learning here is social interaction, communication, self-help skills. And these are not skills that can be taught across a tabletop in a school for just 5 or 6 hours.
Right.
They have to be done in situation. Right. They have to be done in context. And they have to be done all the time. A child would go to the toilet at any time.
Anytime.
A child would need to ask for help or something at any time.
Right.
A child would need to interact or respond to a person anytime.
Right.
So it cannot be restricted or limited to the therapy time or the school time. It has to be done all the time. Now, if you can have a 100% a therapist with the child 100% of the time, well, that's a different matter. And I really
don't know.
I'm not even sure of the efficacy of the matter because ultimately the child needs to interact with everyone consistently.
Yes.
So that means everybody else needs to consistently communicate with him as well. Right? So I feel that the learning here is not limited to the child. The family needs to learn with the child. You have to retrain yourself. Your lifestyle cannot remain the same. If you are thinking that in, you know, in my, as young parents, that in my first 2-3 years, I will do everything, fix him, and you know, and fit him in my family, that's not going
to happen. That doesn't work. Absolutely.
That's not going to happen. The child will learn. The child will grow 100% guaranteed. You have to learn and grow with the child.
I think that's very valid because learning and growing with the child as opposed to just changing the child in isolation.
Yeah.
I think that's very valid and beautiful.
I think that's one of the points that we have also spoken about in the book, A World of Difference, where we talk about, you know, how important it is for parents to be standing by the side of the child and not somewhere across and saying, I'm here and you have to reach me, because we need to go together on the journey, the child and the family.
You know, I mean, you are the person that the child trusts the
most. Absolutely. He has,
you are the anchor he has,
right?
And that anchor has to be solid.
Yes.
Because if the anchor itself is not solid and stable,
and
it will harm you also. Because you see, if the child is not growing well and is not happy and is not comfortable in his life, there is no way that you can be happy and comfortable. So this is for the entire family.
Yes.
You know, the learning process is for the entire family, for the entire family to grow and be happy and healthy and enjoy, you know, a fruitful, lovely life.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
hard, I know, at times. It can be...
I don't know if you remember that example I had given once about an orchestra conductor and the parent. Because, you know, I always feel that a parent is like an orchestra conductor, you know, not just because he or she flails all the time. That's another matter. But the point is that you need not know how to play every instrument in the orchestra. That is, you need not be a master in behavior analysis. You need not be a master in occupational therapist. You need not know everything. You know, you need not be a specialist in that, but you need to know about everyone and their position in your music, that is your child. Where do these people stand? When do they pause? When do they act? You conduct that music for your child.
Amazing.
You know, that's and for that, the conductor needs to know everything.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
I might sound like a control freak, and which I am a little bit, which I am a little bit, and I'm learning. My son is teaching me not to be. I am much better.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. But, thank you, Anirudh, for teaching her that.
I am learning. I'm a very sweet person now, Geeta. I must tell you that.
But that's an awesome visualization that you know you brought about being a conductor. And knowing, you know, when do the various people or service providers or people in the community, what are their roles and when do they need to step in and when do they need to pause?
To pause. Pause is very important.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there will be chaos.
Yeah.
Even if everybody played perfectly, if the pause is not right, there will be chaos.
Yeah. You need to stay in tune. You need to keep to the rhythm and you need to make music. Yes. Absolutely. That's a really lovely way to put it. And I do hope a lot of, you know, young parents take note of that and see how much it takes to actually make this journey beautiful and make this journey.
And may I just add one bit for any of the young parents who are listening?
Yeah.
That you know, I would like to tell you one thing that I know it's you know, you when children are younger, you work really very hard. 24 hours is not enough.
Yes.
But do learn to also enjoy moments in between. You know, also live your life. Take some moment for yourself also, because you cannot put life on hold. Anybody's life on hold. Life goes on. So, you know, try to create a timetable, a schedule where you also allocate some time for yourself, where you can look after yourself. Also enjoy being who you are, because that will benefit the child also, because that is your asset that you bring to the child. Do not imitate another parent. Do not try to make your child like another child, because it doesn't work like that. You and your child are unique. You come with your own set of strengths and weaknesses. Learn to identify them and use them. Don't work against them.
Right. So a little bit of self-care is important.
Family time, not just, I mean, if you have another child, it can be all consuming when you have a child with disability at home.
Yes.
But try to relax, try to enjoy life. And do not be overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
You know, it is part of your life and you learn to live and enjoy, you know, it becomes your life. So don't worry.
Yeah. I think many times there are, you know, parents who have mentioned that siblings get a little unhappy about the amount of time that the person with autism gets as opposed to the, you know, neurotypical siblings. Yes. A lot of those challenges do happen, and even actually not spending enough time together as a family because you're so consumed by this or you're unable to do certain things because your child is not happy in certain situations and so on. Yeah, it is a learning experience. I think one of the things that I always remember in the days that, you know, when Anirudh was young and we were working together was your ability to actually be unfazed by anything Anirudh did in terms of, you know, externalizing behaviors like the sounds he made or some of the so-called oddities that we speak about autism, right? We would go out everywhere and he would be who he was. And
yes.
You would be pretty nonchalant about it. And I learned that from you, woman. It was initially very hard for me. But I think I learned from you, and that's something I go on to tell many young parents, that you need to go out. People are scared to take the child out because they don't know how he would respond or how others would respond.
So Geeta, as you were saying, and when Anirudh was growing up, I mean, I think you knew Anirudh when he was around 3+,
mm-hmm.
I think, or 4-ish, right? I mean, around that time. Mm-hmm. And since then, I do remember that it was not just Jairam and me, but you and Shrikant. Mm-hmm. We were a team. Mm-hmm. You know, when Anirudh was a child, we went out as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, at least you and I went out as a team. So I think a lot of my confidence and my courage, I mean, I had learned from books that I need to be this thing, and whatever my personality, but also the confidence and courage that, you know, friends like you who gave me to be, you know, comfortable. Mm. So, because sometimes if you are alone, I mean, the journey can be very lonely if you don't have really wonderful, understanding friends and family. And in that area, we have been very, 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 very blessed.
Mm.
So don't be alone. There are friends out there. If they are not your... So see, my point is, Geeta mentioned that there are situations where a child is not happy and you are not able to enjoy. Learn to find different things. Mm. Maybe you love to go to a movie. You loved going to cinema, but now your child can't do it. It doesn't mean that which you and your child can enjoy together.
Right.
Maybe beach, you know. Yeah. So similarly, maybe your existing friends or family, if you feel they are not the support they require, look out, look around. There are people. There are wonderful people, and co-parents, you know, with who are in a similar situation to you, try to do things together, and you will be confident when you have company. You know, you'll have courage when you do it with other people.
Right.
So, you know, it's not, nobody is super, nobody is amazing. It is life which makes you that, appear that to others, because you just have to do it. You have no choice.
Yeah. Because, and you know, talking of family on that note, many young parents do not disclose or are hesitant, right?
Yeah. Do you want to speak a little bit about that? Because we've come across a lot of young parents who say, no, I don't want to tell my, you know, my parents or my in-laws or my extended family. I don't know how they're going to deal with it. So they actually conceal that diagnosis for the longest time.
I remember some I think Geeta and I would remember some families. But I would not say that it's an unnatural response, considering the stigma which still exists for anything which is different.
Right.
Anything. I mean, you know, it's, love marriage, a very conservative family, children doing arts and not science. I mean, you know, people who can judge you on these matters. Now, this is a very fundamental different.
Mm.
And parents feel, there are so many emotions families can go through. They can feel guilt, they can feel shame, they can feel anger, so many things. And they may not want to hurt their parents or in-laws, whatever, or they may think they will be judged one way or the other. Mm. So I can understand where it comes from, you know, and I do not judge them for feeling so, because I think it is... Everybody's environment, everybody's value systems, it is conditioned from their life experiences.
Right.
And probably their life experiences tell them this, that if you do this, this is how it's going to turn out, and better not do it. Mm. Right. But my say to them is that once you, and you know, and we always, the go-to word is acceptance, accept your child. And yes, but acceptance again doesn't happen with one crescendo and lightning. It's a lifelong process. Right. Mm. And so what I would try to reiterate and reinforce for families is that the condition that your child has is a lifelong condition. This is not going to go away.
Mm.
So if you think that you're going to work hard for 2 years, hide your child, and then present him to the world and never mention that, that's sadly never going to happen.
Mm.
And the imagination and the creativity that you are going to use to conceal the condition.
Right.
If you use it to teach the child, if you use it to educate and inform the extended family and society, you might actually get really good results.
Yeah, beautiful.
Because people are very creative and, you know, in this thing, in trying to hide.
Mm.
You know, they use a lot of really wonderful skills to hide. So obviously you have the skills. Use them in a more productive way in trying to educate and inform others about your child's condition. Be his or her advocate.
Yes.
You know, and be proud. And I don't mean that proud in the sense, do not be ashamed.
Yeah.
Because if you are going to be ashamed, you're going to pass that feeling to your child as well, that I am something that is to be hidden. I'm someone who is to be embarrassed about, and that you don't want that.
And absolutely. And acceptance all the way. And it is an evolving process. It's not done with, right?
We all have margin of, I will accept all this, but that I cannot accept. I will take all this, that I draw a line at. That also I will accept.
Yes.
But you know, now that I draw a line at.
Yeah. So it's a constantly evolving process.
There you go, yes. Like us and ourselves. Yes. Everything is expanding and we should accept it too. Sorry for digressing.
I think this has to be the most fun podcast ever.
And ladies, you better know when to stop it. As forever.
Right.
Sorry.
So I know we can endlessly recap and chat about, you know, so many experiences and so many things that we have kind of been through together, the whole journey, and you know what it is like today and how things have actually evolved and changed to where we are now, right? It's been like 20 odd years of constant change.
I meet young parents now when I consult with them and they have early diagnosis. So one thing that I realize it, and I'm really happy about it, is that when they come, they already have read up about it and they have, you know, I mean, they've Googled stuff about it. And when we say some things, they are not really, you know, I mean, the words they are familiar with, and there are some concepts they are familiar with. So, which is wonderful. But let me again underline that, yes, life times are very different. Things can happen at an accelerated pace today. But just information on the internet, just information on Google is not enough, because as we all know, there is all kinds of information. To have the ability to know what is suitable, what is correct, you do need a good professional who can guide you and can trust and work with, and that is a must. And there is still not, till today, no shortcut to the actual physical work that you need to do. Only difference today is that you have access to information on a fingertip, and we had to scrounge and get these rolls and sheets of papers from people. But the actual work does not change even today. You still have to do the things. I mean, the result comes only when you put in that what is required, and the earlier and the better and the more that you can do, you see a better outcome.
Absolutely. And that's
think there are some very beautiful points brought out by Hema today. I specifically love the self-care one, because I think that's super important, right? Moms, dads, primary caregivers, they need to like put in that effort into self-care, and then advocacy, which is huge. And not being embarrassed by your child, because that can actually pass on to them. Right. I think that's something we're going to speak about a lot in the future.
And no judgment. Don't judge other families. Don't judge yourself. You know, we tend to do that. I'm doing this. Well, see, she's not doing this. Or whatever. Or the other way around. Don't judge. You bring down yourself. You bring down others. Lift everyone up. Together, everybody can rise. Pull down each other. Don't snigger at each other as families. Be together, work together, pull all of yourselves, ourselves together.
And I think that's so relevant and so important, because people are so busy, you know, decrying one thing or the other, that it's not constructive. It's not helpful to anybody.
FOMO culture.
Just FOMO culture. So,
young Swati.
And I do hope you will when you get a chance, read the full book and give us
of course I'm looking forward to it.
When you mentioned that for young parents, I think with this book, A World of Difference, what we have tried to do is is actually provide all the information that a parent who has just received a diagnosis of autism for their child would be looking for. Yes. Really, all those questions that are in their heads. And obviously, you know, no professional can answer at one sitting.
Yes.
Because, right, you pause, you think, and then you have, you know, 10 more questions that are popping up in your head, and somebody tells you something, you read something somewhere. It's a journey, and we have kind of put together a whole lot of things there that we hope will answer all those questions that parents have.
It is wonderful, actually, because nothing is more important, at least in this field, than I don't mean free of cost or whatever, but freely available, valid, good information, and to disseminate it far and wide. Yes. Because life is there beyond the metropolitans where you have options.
Yes.
But beyond that, there is an India which has no information, which yes. has no services, no facilities, yes. and they need good information. I would definitely hope that this book would be translated into other Indian languages and would be more accessible to parents who cannot, who are not comfortable with English. English. I really hope so.
Yeah, we are hoping.
And I will try to translate it to Hindi.
Oh, awesome. Oh,
lovely. I will try to do that. It's a thought in my head.
Yeah.
It's
we are already working on that.
I think it should reach out to Indian families all over India.
Absolutely.
Beyond the realms of English. Yes. Because it is needed. It is required.
Right.
People are, you know, people do not. What we see is a very limited
version. Yes. It's already being translated into Tamil.
Wonderful.
And it'll be fantastic if, you know, people.
Try to work with my friend on this in a
bit. Yes.
Because I think it should reach out to more and more people, because what I see, the tabular forms, the user-friendly, and from what I have just seen, I really not honestly read the whole book. I'm very excited about it. And I think it would be wonderful because it is in our context. The book is in our context.
Yes, yes. You know? Yes.
It is not about giving sugar as we had in one manual, right? One of the activities. Yes. And it is actually a kiss. So, yes, so absolutely. I really, really congratulate both of you and compliment you for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I think that point you made about the need for parents to access scientific evidence-based services and not do just, you know, everything that's available out there, because, you know, there is that FOMO again, that need to, I don't know if I'm missing something. Should I do this? Should I do that?
Sadly, there is also exploitation.
There is.
They are desperate, and there are these really evil people out there who are out to exploit you.
Yes,
so not fall into these easy, quick fix traps.
There are none, right?
There are no shortcuts to life. There are no shortcuts to learning. And this is not limited to autism. This is true for everyone.
Absolutely.
So please do not fall into these magic medicine men or magic. You can have your faith, your religious practices, your prayers. They will provide you strength to do what is scientifically required.
Absolutely.
But one cannot compensate for the other.
Yeah.
Both are required.
Yes. Yes,
you have your faith, you have your prayers, you have your blessings, but you have to also do what is required, and please do the right thing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Hema. That's a lot of been there, done that speaking. So, right?
No, I say everything. I mean, really, I'm saying it with all humility. I have learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes. And I guess that's part of the process.
It's part of the process of learning. As long as we are continuously open to learning, then I think that's a great place to be in. So thank you so much.
Thank you for being on our podcast.
Thanks for inviting me. I really enjoyed myself. And I look forward to more wonderful things from both of you. And we must always do what it has been doing.
Yes. Thank you, Hema. That means so much. And to all our listeners tuning in, do log into our website, www.wecanindia.org, for some exciting updates on our book. Our book is also available on Amazon, India, UK, USA, and am I forgetting
Australia
something?
Australia and Singapore.
And Australia and Singapore. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you next time.